This is Mark from Oakland, California. I'm running my Samsung Intercept on Froyo 2.2, and you're listening to the Android Central Podcast.
Hey there, everybody, and welcome to the Android Central Podcast. It's episode number 63 for Thursday, July 7th, 2011. I'm Phil Nickinson. I'm your host for this little endeavor, and we've got a new voice along with us tonight. You might have actually heard him last week. Alex Dobie in the middle of the night in England. How are you?
Not too bad. Very, very dark here.
You able to stay up the rest of the night? You going to be good?
Yeah, I'll be good.
You're a night owl anyway.
Got some Red Bull here. Yeah, kind of. I've sent you emails at 4 in the morning before, so not too bad.
Nice. And we've got Jerry Hildenbrand from the site.
Hi, everybody.
And Mickey Papillon from the Cell Phone Junkie.
Hey, everybody, how's it going?
What were we going to say, Jerry? You got to be quicker than that.
I was going to say, I don't sound near as nice or exotic as Alex. I'm sorry.
That's okay, Jerry.
I don't know. West
you
Virginia's
are a
pretty
chick
exotic.
Magnet, man. I could carry you around, well, before when I was single. I would just pay your way into every bar up and down the strip.
Wow.
Welcome to the podcast, Alex.
Yeah, thanks.
In chat room, welcome to you guys, too. If it's your first time joining us, we do this live most Thursday nights, some Thursday nights, occasionally Friday mornings, just kind of depends. And we do it in recorded fashion as well, so if you don't catch us live, you can catch us whenever you want to. It's kind of the nice thing about a podcast, right? So, we shall talk about Android and Android-related goodness. Anything you guys want to start with? Jerry, Mickey, Alex? No? Nothing?
Nope. I think we got to start with the Droid 3, right? I mean, that's the big news of the week.
Never heard of it.
Yeah. Finally, right? I mean, after how long? How many leaks?
I'm not sure what's more. I mean, let's talk about the phone, I guess, for a second. So, 4-inch QHD screen, dual-core processor, 5-row keyboard. It's got a dedicated number row, which just looks kind of weird, right? What else? No LTE.
Thin.
Huh?
That's something nobody's talking about. It's only a half-inch thick
that's
with
true.
A sliding keyboard.
So it's a Droid 3.
Took a page out of the Motorola Q book. That was a half inch.
Don't make me miss that phone more.
Great, wasn't it? Didn't work half the time, and you had to.
I never missed any of them.
Batteries, but you know.
No, that doesn't matter. It felt great
every
anyway.
Time.
I mean, here's what's more intriguing to me is that just the evolution of the Droid, and this goes back to last year as well, right? We knew the Droid 2 was coming, and this was back in either early August, because I hadn't had the second kid yet. It was like middle August, right? And we knew it was coming, and they announced it the day that it was also made available. Like, I was on an airplane, hop up, and all right, there it is. I mean, not like we didn't know about the thing at that point. Same thing for this one. We've seen leak after leak after leak. And then they're like, oh, yeah, by the way, Droid 3, go get it. I mean, is it that Verizon and Motorola just don't care? I mean, it's not that they don't care. Otherwise, they wouldn't put out the thing in the first place. But and maybe we got spoiled last year. Here's the other thing I keep thinking about. We've had one launch event this year, I think. A couple. No, we've had
Say
a couple.
It.
No. We've had that one. I've only been to one. We had the Kyocera Echo. We had the Infuse launch event, but it was already announced.
I forgot about that one.
Yeah.
I
did a couple in Europe with the Sensation.
Right. God, I love that. I sent that phone back today. I sent the T-Mobile version back today, and I miss it already.
Yeah, so apparently there's an update for that, the Euro version, that fixes all that weird lag.
Right, so hopefully we'll get that soon. But back to the Droid 3. So, it's here, but they didn't make a splash with it this time. And, I mean, the Droid is what launched Android, at least in the U.S., but I'd say the world, too, right? I mean, the milestone is pretty big everywhere else. And it's just odd after, you know, last year we had launch event after launch event. You know, we had announcements and then launch events, and just we're all over the place. Everybody's so far has kind of lowballed things this year. So, you know, the Droid 3, it's all right, here it is. And do you think the specs don't necessarily warrant that kind of hoopla?
Maybe not. I mean, how long has it been since the Atrix? It's been 7 months. You know, Tegra 2 isn't really, you know, it's kind of old news now, isn't it, really?
You know what I'm thinking, Phil, and everybody? Last year, Android had 18% market share.
Mm-hmm.
This year, they have 40%. They don't need to spend millions on television advertisement and flyers in every magazine and throw all that money around anymore.
The advertising
people go
still
into the
there.
Verizon's.
Well,
but the fanfare isn't.
Right. I think the active promotion isn't quite as big as it was last year, and that's probably a pretty good reason why, I think. I think you're right on it.
Maybe if you walk into a Verizon store, you know the Droid is there. You might not know what the Droid is. You might not know that it's more than one phone or that it's Android, but you know the Droid is at Verizon.
And you know it does. That's what
yeah.
it does.
I guess. Maybe I'm just... And I'm probably the wrong guy to ask, because I was the one flying all over these things last year. But, I don't know, it just has a totally different feel. Like, they didn't send out review units ahead of time. And it sounds like they don't even have them yet. Yeah, I mean, hopefully I'll get one in the next
Don't say that. Don't say that.
Well, no, I'm just saying. You know, like, when I ask, they're like, oh, yeah, as soon as we get them, we'll send them out to you. That's the way these things work. No, when I went to the Droid X event last year, they were literally like flashing them in somebody's office like that morning and that, you know, the night before. So I understand there are, you know, limitations to this stuff, but it's just, it feels odd. I think you've got it right.
I just thought about something. Is the Droid 3 just a foregone conclusion and they're just focusing all of their attention on the Bionic right now? And so this was just get it out and let's move on.
Could be.
What do you think? Yeah?
But at the same time, what's the... All right, so the Bionic is going to be LTE and dual core and hopefully just badass. But, I mean, how much of a step over the Atrix is it going to be? Well, I mean, all right, LTE is a huge step over the Atrix, I guess.
Yeah, it is. You know, it's going to be, it's kind of like the, well, for those of you that really, you know, you just like the Droid line, this is what we've got.
Mm.
Yeah, it doesn't, I know, we know, no 4G. Yeah, we know. Don't worry about that though. You know, we'll get that. We'll get that with the Bionic. I'm kind of feeling like this is, there was a lot of leak to it and I didn't realize that they hadn't set out review units because that is really, really strange. I mean, that to me kind of means that this is they don't care about it. They're not looking for the coverage of it. You know, where did they even send out the press release? Or well, I guess they did. I got it this morning, didn't I?
Yeah, they sent them out this morning, but late last night it had already popped up online.
Yeah,
not the press
exactly,
release, but the phone itself. And again, that's not the strangest thing in the world, but I mean. Wow, I mean, this is the Droid we're talking about. It's the Motorola Droid. It's the phone that everybody has, that people still have. I mean, what are we, almost 2 years now past the original Droid? So if you got a two-year contract back then, you probably still have a Droid. Most normal people, not anybody listening to this podcast. But there are a lot of Droids still out there.
Yeah, and then you had the Droid 2, the Droid 2 Global, and then the R2-D2 one.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So they had.
Oh, I forgot about that one.
Yeah, they had three last year. You know, with that model. So it's big. I mean, is there any phone that's got more units out there than the Droid brand on the Android side? Probably not.
No,
I think right now the Evo has the most, but it's because, you know,
because
Verizon
it was that
has
awesome. Yeah,
more choice.
Right.
Okay.
And, you know. The Evo, I think, is the most, but I do believe the second most popular is still the Droid. Mm-hmm. And that says a lot.
Yeah, it does.
What's kind of weird as well is Motorola's not even releasing it over here. So with the other two, they're the Milestone and the Milestone 2, and over here, they're just not bothering with the Droid 3 this time.
Yeah, no,
Milestone 3 released.
It showed up, in China a couple weeks ago? Korea? I forget which.
Yeah, I think it's getting released in Asia. Really, really limited release, but it's certainly nowhere near as widespread as what we had with the other two.
Hmm.
Interesting that it's still not Tegra 2 and LTE.
Yes.
You know, I know we hear one side, one story from one side and another story from the other side, but you know, I guess I'm talking about the Bionic. I'm thinking ahead. Sorry. But the Droid 3 has the same processor. The OMAP looks like Motorola is shying away from the Tegra 2 a little bit.
It's nice to see the front-facing camera, because that's the first Droid to have that, right?
Yes. The Incredible 2 has one.
I mean, okay. All right.
And the first Motorola.
Right.
The first Motorola Droid.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see. I'm trying to get myself excited for it, because I'm sure it'll be a perfectly capable phone. but
I want to use that keyboard. Mm-hmm, we think it looks weird. I agree with you that it looks weird, but it may be the best thing out there.
Well, and the last two Droid keyboards have sucked. They've not been good.
Oh, yeah. Right.
By any stretch of the imagination. Now, the second one was better than the first, but that ain't saying much. What else? Anything else in the Droid 3? Done. We'll have to wait till we see it. A lot of questions. Yep. So.
Yep.
And I'm sure we'll start seeing some hands-ons, depending on people who have ordered them already, and hopefully we'll get ours soon, too. But we'll definitely give it the what for and the usual stuff and, you know, play Angry Birds on it. I've been playing Field Runners all day. I don't know why. I'm a sucker for tower defense, even though it's like, all right, it's another tower defense game. But this one's pretty good.
I'll have to check it out. I downloaded it.
Yeah.
Just in case.
God, I hate Amazon. I really do hate the Amazon App Store. I'm just not a fan. I mean, they're doing a decent job, I think. Actually, they've done, and I've said this before, they've actually done a pretty remarkable job, especially all the exclusives they've gotten. But it's just an extra step I don't want to have to take.
Yeah, but you can test all the apps. You get to play with them. You actually get to see what you're using before you download it.
Yeah, I'm not the right use case for that. But that's my fault. That's not Amazon's fault. I need, like, Amazon Prime App Store. What do I get for that?
You get to pay every year for it?
Oh, crap. I just got my bill for that, too. All right, so that's the Droid 3. I would argue this next story is actually one of the bigger ones of the week. So Google Maps got an update to, was it 357? 57?
5.7.
There's some 5s and 7s in it somewhere. So a couple cool things is you get public transit navigation. So when you say, hey, I want to go here, give me navigation for it, you can choose to use public transit in, what, more than 400 cities worldwide. So, mm-hmm. You know, if you're in London, it'll tell you, what do you guys call it, the tube?
Tube, yeah.
The tube. Tell you, which stations to hit, whatever, which train, same thing in New York, San Francisco, whatever. That's really, really cool. Now, it doesn't work underground very well for the obvious reasons. but still, I think it's really interesting. And, you know, I don't live in a place where I have public transportation, but I love it when I go to New York and San Francisco and stuff. And, you know, Barcelona, we're in the subway all the time. So really, really cool. But the other huge thing, I think, is actually still in beta or their little lab section. But you can download map data for offline use now. It's just the map data, so you don't get, like, the satellite view and all that cool stuff. But you get the basic map data itself. And I tried it, and it works just fine. It gives you a 10-mile radius from any point that you choose, and you can download up to 10 areas, and it stores it on your phone. And that's a big deal. And somebody mentioned something, I think, in the comments, that that's kind of going to be a game changer for these Wi-Fi-only tablets.
Yep.
Yep.
Mm.
Kind of makes me want to throw one in my car now.
10 miles is a little, I think, small. But again, I know they're still testing it out here and trying to, mm-hmm. Experiment in what's going to work. But I like the idea of this and having a tablet that you can, because there's so many sizes with Android, right? So you can take and find something that works best for you, and you don't have to worry about the 3G, and you can just use it as your. It's almost like your maps in your pocket when you don't have that connection. And I think it would be great if you could choose how much you wanted to download, and at the same time, you can choose an external card as well. Right now, I'm assuming it's just going right to the phone. You can't choose to download it to an SD card.
It looks that way.
So,
I thought the map data went to the card.
I'm 99% sure the map data goes to the card.
Oh, does it? Okay. So, yeah. Okay, but I'm thinking about full-fledged applications that are mapping applications. They don't go much over a gig. I mean, you could easily figure out downloading the entire country, mm-hmm. If they were to enable it. But, I mean, you have to that doesn't make sense all the time. But if you were really specifically looking for, like, a cross-country route and you wanted to use your tablet as the way to map it, or think of, like, someone who's on the road all the time, like a trucker or a cross-country salesperson or something like that. This is really, really big and actually a very kind of a convenient thing if they could just open it up and make it even more than what it does right now.
I'm pretty sure they will, right? I mean, it's mm-hmm. it's in labs, it's in beta, whatever. But, yeah. I mean, that's just the beginning. And I think if you could do, whole regions, then that's huge. Then that almost puts TomTom out of business. And
yeah, yep, done.
Mm.
It's going to hurt, man. That's going to be awesome. I mean, I hate it for him, but that's going to be really cool. Did you guys try it
yet? I fooled around with it. I didn't go anywhere. But
yeah, I left the house and turned data off and just to try it. No, and I think it's huge if you're traveling overseas, right? So when we go to Barcelona, I don't leave it.
Yeah.
You know, I easily don't leave a 10-square-mile radius, you know, once we're there. And so, you know, that could potentially save huge on data. Now, and there's a question, right? Does it pull? I would assume it still pulls the latest map info off the servers while you're roaming, even if you have cache data, right? I don't know.
I mean, if you're in the area that you got loaded?
Right, right.
I'll bet it just uses GPS data, Phil. I'll bet it doesn't actually pull data.
Yeah.
I mean, somebody's going to have to take and download an area and turn on airplane mode and go for it. But I can't see any reason why it couldn't work with just the cached data, you know, to draw the vectors and then use the GPS data. I think that would work.
And that's the other thing about this update. It is fast. Like, I mean, I know it's been vector for a while. Yeah. It's been vector for like 6 months. But damn, I've never seen it this fast. I mean, is it just me, or does it really seem faster?
No, it's fast.
It's
really, really nice. I like it a lot. I love Google Maps.
You mentioned the updating. What are they updating these maps all that often? I mean, maybe if you did it like a couple of months out, but if you did it, you know, a week before your trip.
Yeah, I mean,
it's not going to change.
Yeah, probably not. Probably not. But the question is, like, how is it set up? You know, is it set up to use cache data? And you can tell it, you know, how much data to cache normally outside of this whole downloading thing. I don't know. That's a good question. But wow. I don't know how we got along without Google Maps. Stars.
Yeah, I was trying to think of the name, the thing that the sailors use to measure Sexton? There you go.
Yeah.
And that's why we love you, Phil.
My grandfather tried to teach me how to use it once. They brought their boat back from Fort Lauderdale, and it's like a, you know, it's a 12-hour drive to Fort Lauderdale from here. So they went around the tip of Florida and all that stuff and sailed back. And they were following stars, actually. And one night they were following a star and suddenly realized they'd gone around in two full revolutions before they realized they were following a satellite. Oops. I went out and watched the space station fly over the other night. That's always cool.
Will you be able to see the launch tomorrow morning from your place?
No. Every now and then when they land, we'll get the sonic boom if they come over Florida the right way. But no, I'm way on the complete other side, which sucks.
They head out. Yeah, they head out east, don't they?
Yeah.
They go up and they go out. They go to the east. Okay. All right.
No, I
thought maybe if they went west, you may see something if you were looking south and you may see the trail or something.
Nope. They just go over the Atlantic. Which you can find on Google Maps.
Yeah.
Sorry. Kind of nerd out there for a minute. What else? Alex, you've got the cha-cha there, and none of us have.
I've got the cha-cha. I don't have the cha-cha. It's boxed up about 10 feet away from me right now, so it is out of my reach. But yeah, I've been playing with the cha-cha. It kind of sounds horrible, but it's better than I expected it would be. I was expecting this kind of strange, janky experience, you know, cheap phone, horrible keyboard, all the rest of it. But it's actually pretty good. And what's surprising is that how small a part of the phone Facebook actually is. So you don't need to be completely obsessed with it to enjoy using it.
You're not like tethering through the cha-cha, are you?
I'm not. If I was, I'd be getting out 384 Ks. It doesn't support HSUPA.
Oh yeah, what the hell's up with that? That is the most bizarre thing.
The Wi-Fi is the same as well, because I checked that today. It's the same thing. It does HSDPA, but it's just the usual bog standard 3G upload.
That's ridiculous.
So I don't know whether it's the chip they're using. I don't think it is. I checked the specs. It supports HSDPA.
I'll bet AT&T loves that. They didn't even have to change anything.
No.
Yeah.
That's the way it should be.
For most people, that'll be fine, though. 384 is fine.
Yeah, so we're getting it here is the status. It'll be in Canada is the status. I guess that name's growing on me. I kind of made fun of it at first, but
nah, that's perfect.
Yeah,
that's a good name for that.
It's a lot less of a cha-cha, you could admit.
It's better than the like.
You think anyone's actually going to buy it?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, man. It's the Facebook phone.
Yep.
I don't care if they say it's, you know, it's not the Facebook phone. It still is. It's got a damn button on it that says Facebook.
I have a question. Yeah. How did the MySpace phone do? How did the Helio do?
MySpace was dead. Come on.
I guess
it wasn't when it came out.
Yeah.
Yeah. 750 million users. There's going to be a few people buying it.
Okay, fair enough.
Especially, what's it going to be on AT&T? Do we have a price yet? Is it going to be $50?
I wouldn't think it'd be more than like 150 max. $50 is probably.
No way it's 150.
Yeah.
$99. That's what they'll hit. It's going to be big.
And then in 2 months when it goes to free, that'll keep it around for a little while longer.
Watch me totally love it.
You know what? I'm definitely going
to
try one.
I'm going to buy one.
I'm going to get one why can't I use Google Plus on this? Do you think it'll even work on Google Plus? Will they shut it out somehow?
I've got Google Plus on mine.
Okay.
And there you go.
It's really, really tiny. You can get like about one line of status updates at a time. You've got to scroll through it really quickly. It works not particularly well.
I know we talked about Google Plus last week, but we didn't get to talk to Mickey and Alex about it. You guys got anything to say that hasn't been said? I keep repeating that, hey, it's all of, you know, a week old now. So I love seeing all these sweeping articles about it. And here's what it means. And here's what it's going to do. And here's where it's going. It's going to revolutionize blah, 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 blah. It's a week old.
Yeah. And I was fortunate to get in right at the beginning. I saw, you know, when the first, right after the announcement, and I went on and it was like, oh, you can sign up for this or click on this to activate or whatever. So I did. And I didn't get it. You know, I watched the videos and I still didn't get it. I felt like I needed a user manual or something. And then I started, you know, adding people to circles and stuff. And I said, oh, okay, this makes sense. It's like, you know, obviously, I think this has been said about a million times, but Facebook meets Twitter, right? And it's, I kind of like it. I kind of like what they've done. What I don't like is that it's different and it's something that is going to be so, I think, focused for a group of people that is not, I don't see this expanding just because when people look at moving to something new, whether it's a, you know, a new, like a smartphone, or they look at a new service, like a social networking, they hear what social networking is. I mean, then they say, oh, well, what should I do? Oh, Facebook. Oh, I'll do Facebook, you know, to 750 million people now. And it's not going to be that easy to just get people to switch over. And so it's going to be set, I think, for a very specific group of people who are going to use it. I like some of the features that they've integrated, and I think it brings a little bit more of a, you know, that intimacy level that Twitter doesn't have, but then it makes it more flexible at the same time. And I don't know, I do like it better than Facebook, but everyone's on Facebook, so I just can't see this taking off, or if it does, it's going to take quite a while.
Yeah, I would agree. I think it's gonna depend on where it is in 6 months or a year's time. You know, who's using it, what kind of user base you've got. So like you say, everyone's already on Facebook. It's gonna need to carve out a kind of niche for itself, I think.
Yeah. I wonder what
I said before.
Yeah, go ahead.
I said before the show, my favorite circle right now is friends or family. I've got 14 people in my family circle, and it says I don't have any updates there yet. So that kind of tells you something. I added all the email addresses of my family, and no one's there. I mean, that's just kind of how it is. The groups that I have right now are it's one is called media, and it's like you guys, you know, that's what I have. You know, I mean, that's the one that has the most people in it right now. The friends group, I don't think I've got.
We're not like, friends. No one's we're media.
I have a circle that's called men with very well-groomed hair, and you're in it, Mickey, and you stick me in media.
Well, I do have one called the best beards in the world, and you're in there, so.
Oh, awesome.
I got fat guy in dire need of exercise group.
With a whole bunch of phones.
I put myself in it, yeah.
I think it's got potential. I think it's going to take a while, and I don't think there's it's going to be, it's not going to be a Facebook. I just don't see it. Unless Facebook trips, somehow falters, Facebook is it. You know, my mom just got on Facebook 2 weeks ago. I was like,
I know, she friended me. It was really cool.
Oh, yeah. All right. Really? Because I'm not a friend yet. So
that was, oh, man.
Sorry.
Anyway, but yeah, that's kind of my take on it. I think it's good. It's got potential, but it's not a Facebook.
Well, do you know what I see? Everybody on Facebook saying, hey, let's jump over to Google Plus and do the Hangout thing. And then that's all they're interested in.
Yeah, that's really good.
Mickey, you wanted to talk about the Motorola Zoom for a minute, didn't you?
Yeah, you know, so one of the things that I kind of found interesting this week was that this story kind of, it got coverage, but not a whole lot, and that's that Motorola came out and announced, I mean, there was actually an announcement, I think, I don't remember where it came from, but that they would drop the price of the Tab, the 16 gig version, to $499. So it was $599 before, it's down to $499, which really is where the price should have started, right?
Right.
No mention yet of any sort of decrease for the 3G, quote, 4G version. You know, we still don't know what's going to happen with that. So, but I can imagine they're waiting for that to hit, and then maybe they'll see what happens. But what this tells me is a couple of things. It's instead of dropping the price, I think they should have come out with this announcement for the upgrade, and really push that. And then once they get that piece out, then they can talk about dropping the price, because now there's a pretty big discrepancy, right? I mean, what's the difference? Is it $200 now? Or just over $200 in the price difference between the Wi-Fi and the 3G version? And so what's the point of spending that much more, you know, for that version? I still think that the Zoom was an all right device. It was great to have this, the first Honeycomb tablet out, and let's, you know, not forget that this was really the one that started off the, you know, the trend here for these. But it's really sad that we're now 6 months later, 7 months later, after the initial announcement that they're going to have a 4G tablet, we still don't have it. It's now 5 months after they've launched it. If I'm a Zoom customer, I'm pretty upset at this point that I don't have 4G. I'll launch it as a 3G, and then, you know, under promise, over deliver, and customers would have been happy. But I think it's lost at this point. Go buy a Galaxy Tab 10.1. Motorola should be saying you can trade in your tablet for a Samsung Galaxy Tab 10.1 if you want a tablet.
Oh dear!
It is that bad with them right now. I'm every day I'm just like, yeah, it's not good.
I've got the Acer Iconia Tab A500 Tab Iconia that has too many names, and it's actually a really nice device. And they've done some really interesting software stuff to it. But it's not as thin and it's not as light as the Galaxy Tab 10.1. I mean, that's the benchmark now. And this is not a bad device at all. I mean, it's got an HDMI port on it. It's got a full USB port on it. You know, so that's obviously going to add a little thickness. But, you know, it is not a bad device by any stretch of the imagination. But damn, it's not 10.1. That thing is just thin and nice. And it's tough to compete with. I'm just not sure how anybody's going to do it yet, at least on the Android side. And I understand the iPad 2 is in a whole other thing, and there's now this rumor that we're going to see some just insanely high-definition screen come out this fall, and wouldn't surprise me in the least. But as far as Android tablets are concerned, I still think the 10.1 is the one to beat. Disagree? Nope. Anybody?
No.
Well, what about Kalal? Doesn't that support crazy high resolution?
Quad-core... I think it's a unicorn. I think it's a spec battle. That's not to say it doesn't look cool, because I've seen it. I mean, they can do some pretty amazing graphic stuff with it. But at the same time, you know, how much do you need? I mean, what are you going to do with it?
Yeah,
as far as pushing pixels on the screen, it's important. But, geez, I mean, how long are you going to spend playing those games all day long? Outputting video, I don't think they're doing that much. I mean, I understand people do it, but as far as widespread use, I don't know. But it does look really cool.
I'm about to make everybody mad, but I think the HTC Flyer is the way to go.
Woo! Yeah, you've got that one. How are you liking it?
I love that thing. Yeah. I absolutely love that thing.
No, you're talking
about
the...
Why is that? Why do you think that that's the way to go?
I don't because, Mickey, when you use one, it works. It's fast. It jumps around. When you tap something, it happens. There's not the weirdness that's going on in Honeycomb.
What about the stylus?
All the apps
thing?
Work. Oh, and I love the pen. I mean, that's the most useful thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Don't you find you always lose the pen because you've got nowhere to put it? You've got to keep it in a little pouch thing. There's nowhere to put it in the actual tablet.
Somebody needs to make a nice case. But, the flyer on Gingerbread is a very nice experience. It's not Honeycomb, but it's still a very nice experience.
I don't know how it is over there, but at least on this pond, it's pretty expensive.
Yeah,
like, Motorola Zoom expensive.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, and then $80 for the pen.
But anyway, back to the Zoom. I'm sorry, Mickey.
No, that's about all I think I was going to say about it. You know, just that I think they kind of missed, you know, they missed out, and I guess, you know, we'll drop the price and they'll sell maybe a couple more. I mean, they may see a few percentage point increase in the sales, but you know, the people who want it, don't they have it already? And I think there's better options out there now. And I mean, it just smells of we just got to offload these things because what we're going to be launching, you know, next year or at least maybe even this fall is going to be so much better. We got to get rid of these. We got to start pushing them. But we don't want to drop the price too much to get people scared. So $100. That's where we're going to start.
Not enough.
I'm actually selling them with free keyboards and mice over here.
Are they really?
Worth about $100, yeah.
Wow.
So yeah, it's about the same level.
I just wonder how much it has to do with the Zoom 2 or the Zoom LTE or the Zoom 4G or whatever the heck people are starting to leak a little info about. You know, is that coming soon? Is that why they're getting people used to the idea that the Zoom is a little bit cheaper device?
Oh, yeah, no, it's coming soon. It's gone through the FCC now. You know, but it's only a matter of time. But
so,
I if
so why not drop
out
the price on the 3G model? Why not drop the price on the 3G?
Yeah, I don't know.
That's a whole mess because that's not a 3G model. It says so right on the box that it's a 4G model.
Oh, don't 4G. Get Jerry started.
Yeah, I mean, that whole mess between Google and Motorola, oh, Google has to handle this, and no, Motorola has to. No, screw that. Your customers gave you your money. Fix their tablet. Fight it out with Google later.
Can you imagine if you bought a computer from a manufacturer who said, yeah, we've got this dual core processor at 3 gigahertz in it, and let's say we've got this i5 processor, 3 gigahertz i5 processor. We're selling it right now with a Core 2 Duo at 2.1 gigahertz, but you will get an upgrade. People would be like, "What are you talking about? This is not, you know, that's it's stupid. It was all marketing again, and that's."
But it's not like you didn't know what you were buying, though. I mean, they were perfectly clear.
No, absolutely not.
And we did all we could to tell people how bad an idea we thought it was. But, you know, it's not like they misled anybody.
No, I mean, they told you it didn't ship with it, but I don't think anybody expected to be.
It wasn't supposed to take this long.
Lie.
Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely.
And I'm sure they'll take care of everybody somehow. They have to.
Do we even have any idea how that's going to work logistically?
Last we heard, you were going to, they were going to send you a box, so you weren't going to have to pay anything. They were going to send you a box, ship it off for a week, and then get it back, and which just sounded horrible at face value. I'd be like, no, thanks, I'm going to hang on to this, because you know they're going to lose some. You know something's going to break. You know something's going to happen.
Yep.
And then you're going to see a blog post when one person loses their Zoom. You know, you're going to see blog posts that make it sound like 100,000 Zooms got lost. And, you know, just not true, but that's what it'll seem like. You know, it's just a nightmare. But I go back to they had to put something out. You couldn't, you know, the iPad 2 was about to be announced. They couldn't not announce the Zoom in January.
Right.
Just impossible. Sucks, but I think that was the corner they were shoved into. So that's that. You guys want to do some voicemails?
Do it.
I guess I ought to open them up. Tarp waiting for voicemail music.
By the way, speaking of Google Voice, Google Plus, I like that you don't have to get an email, and yet there's this kind of off to the side yet grabs your attention number that, mm-hmm. you know, when you're in Google, and it's, you have something going on with Google Plus. Oh, well, look at that. I got people. I will add those people to my circles. This is fun.
I know that's all I have right now. It's like it doesn't show people posting anything. It just shows people adding me or something. And majority, I don't know, which is cool.
Same with me. Man.
Yeah.
We're not that famous, are we? Surely. Just got all these people adding us.
Does the pull down not work very well for you guys?
The pull down?
Yeah, like when you click on it, it drops down. Like, it just renders funky in Firefox sometimes.
Well, I do it in Chrome.
Yeah,
I wouldn't know about Firefox.
All right. Okay, let's do some voicemails, and we will start off with Brad.
Hello, this is Brad Wright. I was calling for the Android Central podcast. I just had a comment on last week's podcast about Verizon Wireless and the tiered plans. I think you guys were way too easy on Verizon. Yes, so we know they have a business, but if you think about it, data is cheaper every year, and Verizon is now rising their prices on data. Do you think it costs them more to send 2 gigabytes 2 years ago or today? And this is an insidious thing now that T-Mobile's out of the picture, because, as we know, we're all going to be using more data as things get faster and more things move to the cloud. So while it may seem like it's a fixed price, Verizon has just locked in an ever-increasing rate for our smartphones.
I would agree with you in that I'm sure it costs less to move 2 gigabytes or megabytes or however much data today than it did 2 years ago. However, you're moving it a hell of a lot faster now. And with 10,000%
more people.
Exactly, and we've talked about it before. The rollout for LTE, I mean, they use the word billion a lot when you're paying for that sort of thing. So they have to make the money back, and they have to make a little bit of profit. Were we soft on them? I don't know. That's up for debate, I'm sure. Regardless, it is what it is.
You know what? It's Verizon's right to make the choice and price their services any way they like. They will make the decision that makes them the most money. That's what they are supposed to do. And as a consumer, it's your decision to pick what works best for you. And if that's not Verizon, you go somewhere else. That's really all we can do with it.
Yeah, we had a similar thing over here about a year ago, where most of our carriers were doing unlimited data. And one by one, slowly but surely, they dropped off and we started getting tiered plans coming in. And right now, there's only one that actually still does truly unlimited data. I just think as you're moving things faster and as you need to spend all these billions on rolling out LTE, that free, you're going to have to cut up a little bit more to get this whole service rolled out to more and more locations.
Mickey, what do you think of the whole thing? You're more tuned into the carriers than any of us, I think.
Yeah, so Brad... All right, Brad, buddy. So I kind of understand from the consumer point of view where you're coming from. But I think we need to kind of set the stage that if you want to pay the same amount of money for an unlimited amount of data, you have to realize that you're going to be relegated to that same type of technology and that same plan and that same device that you have right now. In order for us to move forward, in order for us to use more data than we did 2 years ago, we're going to have to make some concessions, because it is literally billions and billions of dollars. The amount that they're spending just on the backhaul alone is truly mind-boggling. I mean, if you look at how can you put in a tower that can support a sustained 10 megabit per second connection for literally 100 people, and multiply that over, 100 or multiple hundreds of cities across the country. Your mind just goes, wow, these guys are doing an immense amount of investment in this. And so I get why they're doing this, because they see where we're going. They see what's happening. They see this trend that's not just going upward. It has taken a Mount Everest climb, and it is now to the point where they have to do what they have to do to create a customer experience that they can afford and that they can keep it. I mean, we could certainly have kept unlimited data, but you're going to be spending, you know, $100 a month just for your data plan if they were to do that, because that's, you know, what it's going to cost them to have you as a user to be able to use as much data as you want. Yeah, 97% of the country uses less than 2 gigs a month, but there's that 3% that Jerry uses 23 gigs or whatever ridiculous amount he used that month when we were talking about it. And the technology, it doesn't come free either. There's still patents to license. There's still different things that they have to do to make this work for all of us. And so I get where you're coming from. I would love for us to say, yeah, it's really no big deal. The data is cheap, you know, but stuff has got to give in order for this to work. And that give is the unlimited price point. And you know, if 2 gigs isn't enough, you can pay for 5. If 5 isn't enough, you can pay for 10. And honestly, if you're using more than 10, you are really that, like, you know, 0.1% of the users that are out there, and you can pay the additional, you know, what you can pay $100 a month for your data, because there's so few of you out there, especially right now. So that's kind of where I feel about that.
Yeah.
And
right.
I feel like I would pack up and go.
You'd leave Verizon. That's what you're saying.
I would leave Verizon over something like this, only because they don't give somebody a $15 option. If they're doing this for the customer, which we know they're not, but that's what they're saying, we're doing this to help you, well, then save me some money, because right now you're charging me the same for less. And I would leave over that.
And you know what? And that's the great thing about the options that we have, the fact that you still have T-Mobile. And I understand it's probably, you know, we're down to 6 months, 9 months before we don't have T-Mobile. But you get into a plan, and at least for the short term, you know, for the next couple of years, you're going to be honored in that plan. Mm-hmm. And so you can certainly use that, or go to the only real true unlimited player still out there in Sprint and use them. You have that option. You've got great device choices on there, and you know you're fine. Go use it, have fun. You know they're almost as good as Verizon. And guess what? If you happen to not find Sprint service, you're going to find your Verizon service, because they've got some great roaming agreements in place.
Yeah, I mean, but everybody being up in arms and screaming at each other and carrying on, that's not going to change it. It's done.
No, it is. Absolutely, it's done. And, you know, for the right now, the number one carrier in the country, they kind of have that power. And I'm not trying to say that I agree with what they're doing. I'm just trying to be realistic about it, because this is what's happening. You know, you are going to see the continuation of this. This is how it is. You know, I can't remember who I saw that mentioned it, but it was kind of a funny thought. What if we went to night and weekend data? You know, whoever thought about night and weekend minutes? Like, that's just kind of a weird thing, but it totally made sense, right? I mean, we said, right. Oh, there's not as many business people using devices on nights and weekends, so we can throw that in. So what if we move to something like that? You know, let's kind of be, you know, be open to different options that are out there. Maybe it won't happen. I don't know, but I thought it was.
I think that's a great idea.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know that they would ever do something like that. It's. You know, it's all going to work out based on the dollar sign.
True.
There's still companies, right? I mean, they are still businesses. They have shareholders to report to. They have, you know, they have budgets to maintain, and they can't blow it if we are using more and more data, and they've got to invest more money, and so something's got to give. I mean, that's just the bottom line. And like I said, you've got options. You don't have to stay with Verizon. But I mean, if I was you know, if I was someone who was like, I need speed right now, LTE is the best choice for you. Verizon is more likely than not the best choice for you.
And I agree. You know, I don't have a problem them saying, here, it's $80 for 10 gigs. I have no problem with that. You have to pay to play. Part of me is actually looking forward to AT&T and T-Mobile joining, just because of that's the only promise I've ever heard to get LTE where I live. If it'll happen, who knows? But I know I'd be paying a lot for it, but I'm willing to pay. I just don't like the way that they've, you know, they're giving you less and charging you the same.
Okay, right,
hold on a second.
One more quick point. And yes. This is a really good one. So in the chat room, the only Morgan is saying that the argument that we're making doesn't make sense because as of yesterday, everyone had unlimited plans, and all of those people, minus the people who signed up today, still have the unlimited plans. The point is they had to cut it off somewhere. They had to draw the line there, and you know they've got all these contracts in place. They can't switch people over, so they have to draw that line somewhere. And for whatever reason, July 7th happened to be that date, and so they said, "Okay, now we are anyone signing up with us moving forward, you're going to have to do this." So it's not changing anything for the people that are out there right now that have Verizon service. There's 105 million people that have Verizon that are still able to use unlimited amounts of data on these plans. You can change plans, you can change phones, you can do whatever you want. You can't change plans. You can change phones, you can renew contracts, and you're still going to have unlimited data. So don't worry about it if you're an existing customer. Just be happy, use it, and move on. Just keep in mind, if you want to do some of the other things that they're going to offer in the future, you're going to have to make a change, like tethering.
Yep. All right, let's get
now,
off Horizon.
Now I'm done. Now I'm done.
All right, here comes Curtis.
Hey, guys. This is Chris. I have a Sprint Evo 4G. But this question is actually about the unreleased Motorola Photon 4G. And I was wondering how it actually compares to the Motorola Zoom tablet. It looks like it has pretty much the same specs. Guys, please correct me if I'm wrong, but the processor is a 1 gigahertz NVIDIA dual-core Tegra 2 processor, and both support a gig of RAM. And my question is the Photon 4G basically a mini Zoom, meaning that anything that you do on the Zoom tablet, you could do equally as well on the Photon 4G. So, yeah, guys, love the podcast. Appreciate your help. Thanks. Bye.
I don't know if that was Curtis or Chris, but it was a good question.
It's a software thing, surely, isn't it? Part of the
It's
gingerbread versus honeycomb, and how much that's optimized for dual core, how much that's optimized for the Tegra.
Well, I know NVIDIA's games, they work a whole lot better on Tegra phones than they do on the tablets, simply because it's a smaller screen. They're driving less pixels. But the rest of the operating system, not so much.
Well, but playing the same game on... I did this on the G2X and then the take your pick on the Zoom or on the Galaxy Tab 10.1. I mean, it's night and day. Like, they both run great. They both look really good. And like
Kevin
says, yeah, things will run a little smoother on the phone, sure. But the whole experience is just so different. So, I mean, it's not like you're just scaling things down for the phone, although in a lot of ways I think you are. But the UI experience or the UX is just so different.
Yeah.
And once you go, like, once you play a game on a tab, you don't want to go play it on the phone at all.
I have to agree.
I've done that
with the only.
It's just, it's so tiny. It's cute.
The only thing I play on, you know, the phone anymore is if I want to HDMI out to the TV.
Right.
But other than that, it's a big difference.
All right, let's move on to Larry.
Yeah, my name is Larry. I'm from Oklahoma. This is for the Android Central podcast. I own a rooted Evo the 4G, and I just bought a Samsung Galaxy Tab 10.1, and I am looking for an app or some way to transfer files from my Evo to my Samsung Galaxy Tab while I'm tethered to my Evo. So I'm just looking to, like, transfer the files on my Evo to my Galaxy Tab, you know, without going to the web, but just in while I'm already tethered wirelessly. You know, I just have a 16 gigabyte non 3G Galaxy Tabs, and so I'm tethering to my Evo. So anyway, if you can just give me any information about that, I appreciate it. Just trying to transfer files from my phone to my Galaxy Tab. Thanks. Love the show.
Somebody asked me the same question. We didn't talk about that last week, did we?
I don't think so.
Somebody asked me the same.
Bluetooth would be the way to go.
Yeah, but what about really big files? At what point is that just unrealistic?
Well, heck, I don't know. I guess it depends on your amount of patience. No, but if he's tethering, he can't get to the internet from the Evo, right? So I really can't think of any other way.
Can't USB host,
you know, other
yet.
Than Bluetooth. You know what, though? I would be really, really interested once somebody either makes or buys an OTG cable you know, that plugs into the tab. I wonder if you could plug your phone in as a storage device.
Why not?
Yeah, I mean, and that shouldn't interfere with the tethering either.
That'd be kind of awesome.
And they're telling me in the chat that you can use the phone internet while tethering. So...
Pville Comp says Dropbox will do asynchronous sync. What's that mean? I'm kidding. I know what it means. So you upload it on one and then switch to the other device and then download it on the other, basically. So, all right. So there are your options. I'd try the Dropbox thing first. Maybe. Anyway. All right. Last one. This is, I believe, Sheldon.
Hi, this message is for the Android Central podcast. This is Sheldon from Brooklyn, and I recently got a Droid Charge, and one of the reasons why I got it is because I wanted to kind of future-proof myself, so I got the Charge, it being a newer phone, rather than another phone I liked, which like the Droid X. I'm not an app developer in any way or form, but I would think that a app developer for, let's say, Android Gingerbread on the phone should run on all Android phones running Gingerbread. But with developers like Hulu and Netflix developing Springer apps on particular phones only, and 9 times out of 10, these are the older phones, was my purchase of a newer phone a good buy as far as apps are concerned? Is this that huge of a difference between phone models rather than the underlying base code? Once again, thank you for your podcast. You do a great job. This is Marlon from Brooklyn.
Jerry, all you.
You know I'm just chomping at the bit. It's damn Netflix's fault. It's Hulu's fault. They are blocking those phones until they can get their DRM crap figured out. Can't blame anybody else. And that's all. I'm done.
That was quick and painless. More or less.
But, you know, it works. Tegra 2, it streams video just fine everywhere but Netflix. So, you know, you would think they could figure it out.
That's it, boys and girls. Okay. Anything else? Did I miss anything? No?
Right then. I don't think so.
Mickey, wrap us up.
If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can send us an email to podcast@androidcentral.com, or you can leave a voicemail at 888-468-6158. Type in extension 222 to leave your voicemail for us. You can also get all of us on Twitter. The site is @AndroidCentral. Phil is @PhilNickinson. I am @TCPJ_Mickey. Jerry is @GBHill. And Alex is...
I am not.
Alex can be found with all of the other writers over @AndroidCentral. The entire show and the podcast, the site, brought to you by the Android Central Store, found at store.androidcentral.com. Also, make sure you swing by mobilenations.com for the host of all of the podcasts, where they talk about everything BlackBerry, iPhone, Android, WebOS, what else? Windows Phone 7, and other things. Also, you can find the Iterate and Zen and Tech shows over there as well, the all-encompassing Mobile Nations podcast.
We're going to do one tomorrow, actually. Should be very exciting. Join us. Unless you're listening to this after tomorrow, because then you can't join us. But you can listen to it later. Do that too. Mickey, Jerry, Alex, thank you.
Thank you, Phil.
Thank you.